That's not to say I didn't think about you. I thought about you a lot when you were gone, though all I ever knew was the absence of you.
Happy Halloween, and welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. So this is episode 5 of Spooky Season for our podcast. We are looking at popular thrillers, horror books this month to tell you whether it's worth your time. It's not too late to pick up these books. It's still going to be cozy weather to curl up with a good thriller. So let's get started. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Catherine. So for this finale of Spooky Season, so we are tackling the popular murder mystery novel, Local Woman Missing by Mary Kubica. The premise of this book is much like the title would suggest, a local woman goes missing along with her 6-year-old daughter on the heels of another woman going missing in the town. So it follows Meredith, who goes missing, and her husband, Josh, is looking for her and their daughter, Delilah. And that's kind of where we start off in the book, of just them searching for her. But then we do an 11-year time jump to a little girl who is found after being trapped in a house. She's 14 years old, so they think, and she looks like Delilah. And the police think that she's Delilah after she says that's her name. And she's kind of transplanted into this home that she doesn't remember. And we still don't totally know what happened to her mother, Meredith. So we flip back and forth from those two timelines to, because we don't really know what happened to Meredith or what happened to Shelby, who goes missing a couple weeks before.
Okay, so first things first, we are going to give you guys some reviews that we found and talk about our non-spoiler discussion questions of the book, what we thought, and then we're going to give you our Busy Girl rating, which is how good of a read we think it is specifically for busy people who are in a time crunch. And after that, we will be in our spoiler section intended for you to listen after you've read the book, if you decided that it was worth it. So with that, let's get started. You guys have your reviews ready?
I am so ready. Let's go. This is a 4-star review from Storygraph. And it starts, "Holy crap, this book was wild. It begs the reader to ask if they themselves would contemplate similar outcomes should they find themselves in the same situation. The story really was haunting as the separate plots came together. I never saw the ending coming. Overall, an A+ thriller in its storyline alone, but I'm giving it 4 stars purely on the fact that the writing was weak in places. In over 11 hours of listening," they're an audiobook listener, "I felt like I barely knew the characters. They weren't multidimensional, as is the case with most of the novels I read. If you like twisty plots, though, this is a great one that I couldn't stop listening to."
I agree with that. I think the writing was weak in some places.
Yes. I feel like I could have written that review. And I also say holy crap all the time. So I was like, oh, this is my person.
I did kind of think you made it up, but if it's real, it's real.
No, I didn't write it.
That'd be too much time.
It kind of sounds like you. It does.
I think that's why I picked it. I was like, wow.
Wow. I feel like my review also kind of sounds like me. So we'll see.
Oh.
Go.
Okay. I did not like this book as much. So I chose a 2-star review, which I normally go negative anyway. But I also did agree with a lot of the things they said. This is from Jan B. on Goodreads. She said, "Once again, here I am, an outlier. Most of my friends here enjoyed it, but I did not. First, the positives. I loved the beginning. Sorry, that's it. There's only one positive that I can come up with. Now the negatives. If I listed all the implausible actions, reactions, events, scenarios, and conclusions, I would rewrite the entire book. I can't give any details as they would be spoilers. But the worst offense was the writing style. I haven't seen a reviewer mention this yet, so I'll be the first. It drove me crazy. Does anyone remember the primers for first graders? See Dick Run, see Jane Run. Yeah, that's what we have here. A few examples. It's Bee's birthday. Today, Bee is 30 years old. They came to celebrate. Bee makes dinner for Leo and me. She lets Leo help. They make pasta. Bee serves it with milk. Has she or the editor ever heard of conjunctions? There are many more examples. I'm in the minority, so do check out the 4 and 5-star reviews, but for me, it's a very generous 2 stars.
Wow. That was a harsh 2 stars.
Yeah.
Those were like 2 bronze stars.
I know. Which I don't think I'm as hard on the book as this person is, but I really agree with a lot of her sentiments. I really struggled to get into the book, and there was in particular one character who their inclusion in the book and their role in the book, I just like, it really pissed me off, and I like couldn't get over it. Like, I just did not understand their role. I felt like it was like cheap that they were in the book, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but I can't explain it to you without spoilers. So those were just some of the things that I had an issue with.
We can't explain it. You get the book from 3 perspectives. Mm-hmm. Meredith, Kate, and Leo. And so the perspective you read was Kate, I believe. And hers kind of reads as like a diary. Her like entries kind of do. And then Leo's is like a weird, like, omniscient third person. I don't know what to call it. So you get a different like writing style with each character. And I did see some reviews that like some people just didn't like that.
Yeah. Also Delilah, the girl.
Oh, that's true.
So that's my review. Catherine, what is yours?
I also went negative. I actually like this book, but I wanted to see the negative reviews just to get some opinions. And so I found this one on Goodreads. It was 1 star, and it goes, I'm so sick of authors using the John 6 years ago, Emily now, John now, Emily 2 hours ago format for advancing the narratives of the characters in recent books. I could just scream. It is so effing confusing. Lucy Foley used this technique too in The Guest List, and it drove me crazy. Back to Local Woman Missing. It was just too confusing with all the back and forth. I hated it. I put it down after a few chapters, but then got curious and skipped through to the end to see what happens. I was disappointed.
Okay, first of all, cheater. That's not why you like the book for the ending. You got to build up to it.
I mean, I thought the ending wasn't disappointing, but I do agree with her that authors a lot lately are using time jumps and character jumps to move forward a story. And we've reviewed a lot of those books so far.
We have. I do also find it annoying. I think that's part of why I struggled to get into this book, is like the time jumps were like just getting a little aggravating for me. I was like, I just simply don't care. Like, just tell me the story.
Yeah.
I think in the beginning, the Delilah perspective time jumps made sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure it was necessary for the whole book. You're right. But I don't know. I didn't give a lot of deep thought to the book while I was reading it. I was just enjoying it. So I'm probably a bad person to comment on that. I was just reading through for fun.
I mean, that means it didn't bother everyone. So, you know, maybe it wasn't that big of an issue.
It slightly bothered me. And it made it hard for me to read it. And I maybe it's just from me being tired from reading the same kind of genre or format over and over. But I definitely
I'm sorry that spooky season is boring you, Catherine.
It's not spooky season. It's the recent format of time jumps in every book we read.
I do think if we had flipped The Guest List and Local Woman Missing, I may have liked The Guest List less, because I think that's part of why this I agree with Catherine. I think that's part of why this book was annoying me, is because The Guest List is like very similar format, and it was just like, it just felt, it's starting to feel overused.
Yeah.
Well, the people of Planet Earth disagree with you. The overall Goodreads review, 4.1 out of 5. The Amazon review, 4.4 out of 5. So neither are like the highest we've seen, but overall people like the book. So let's hear your star ratings.
So my star rating, and you can see it on Goodreads because I put it there a couple nights ago, I gave it 4 stars. To be fair, one of those stars is purely for the ending. I didn't see it coming, and I thought it was a really surprising and good ending. So I disagreed with the reviewer about the ending of the book being disappointing before. But yeah, I was going to be a 3-star until the last 25%.
I am going for like a 2.8. I really did not like the ending. It's just because of one specific, well, it's actually not one thing, it's multiple, but yeah, it just didn't come together for me and I couldn't get into the book. And so I really had a hard time reading it. I didn't read it quickly. And yeah, I just wasn't fully invested in the payoff at the end. So.
Well, I gave it 5 stars on Goodreads. And I'm the one who encouraged them to add this to our spooky season list. So clearly I enjoyed it. I don't know. I think the style just fit my reading habits really well. And it was a easy read. I like the thriller mystery kind of genre. And I don't know. I really had no qualms with it. I mean, some of it was like over dramatized, obviously, but it's a thriller. I mean, that's the point. So I have no issues with this book, really.
Yeah, I didn't think it was over dramatized per se. Like, it's not a true story and it's not trying to be a true story.
No. That's what I saw some reviews that were like, this is all so far fetched. I'm like, first of all, from working in news, I really don't think it's that far fetched. But yeah.
That was not like, my complaint with it at all.
No, that they all tie together in that one way. Yeah, maybe. But like the separate storylines, no, absolutely not far-fetched. But I don't know. I like the over-dramatized. That's why I come for it.
Yeah, you don't come to fiction to see nonfiction.
All right. Well, let's get into some of our discussion now. So was it more plot or character driven?
I feel like plot this time.
Yeah, I think most murder mysteries have to be plot because most of what you're reading is like trying to figure out who killed who.
Well, and I will agree with one part of the review I read. I didn't think a lot of the characters were that in depth.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they didn't have to be. You got the story, but not character driven, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think one of the flaws of how the story was set up, because I agree that the characters were not super in depth, but because you're taking snapshots of time and your future perspective is a young boy, you're not going to get like in-depth thoughts from a young boy about other people. Like, we got some insight into Leo and his trauma, but he's going to be a selfish narrator, essentially. So it makes it hard to see those things.
You start to get a little more from Meredith, but like at the very end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there were sort of a lot of perspectives to write a book where the characters weren't as in depth, which I think, yeah, just kind of agreeing with what you guys said. But have you read other books by the author? She has several, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just had one recommended to me, and I think I would pick up more of her books. Like I said, I think her writing style seemed to fit well with my reading style, so I would be happy to read more by her.
Even though I didn't love the book, I would actually read more by her too. I think the book was creative enough that I think I could like other books by her more. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, you know.
I would agree. I thought sometimes the writing style was a little, simplistic, where it was very much man bites dog kind of structures of sentences. I know, terrible example. News is in my head and headlines are in my head, so
Catherine,
sorry.
The 70-year-old man, thank you for joining us.
Yeah. Just put me in a fedora and give me a notepad.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I thought it was simplistic at times, but I think she took a really interesting concept that's pretty widely popular and has a lot of takes on this, like, kind of missing person murder mystery kind of thing, and made it her own in something I hadn't seen in a novel before. So I would be interested to see what else she's written.
And then next, how was the pacing? I think the pacing was probably my biggest qualm with the book. But how long did it take you guys to read?
I think I read it in 2 or 3 days. Granted, I picked this up before book club and read it on my own, like, desire. So I was enjoying the book and I read it fairly quickly. I could see where you might have qualms with the pacing because it does start really slow. And jumping between the characters, I think, can sometimes throw it off. But I don't know. I was fine with it.
I really struggled with the pacing in this book. I do think, because there's like 5 characters. I don't know if that's exactly right. There's at least 4 where you jump between their perspectives. And this was a book that I felt like it was just too many. It was a little bit jarring, especially between the characters and the time jumps. It was just a lot for me. And I normally that works because you're getting like tidbits that make you like more invested in the story. And I really just felt like it kept slowing down the progression. And yeah, so I think it took me a week to read the book. But as we've said, I was just less invested in the mystery. A lot of people didn't feel that way, obviously.
Yeah. I'm leaning more towards Casey's side of things, where it took me technically a month and a week to read this book. So I had to recheck it out on Libby. My loan did get returned. So I found myself where I would get into a reading stint and then I would get to a stopping point or like the end of a chapter and another time jump happens where I just didn't want to read anymore. And then I had to kind of come back to it and get back into it. So the pacing wasn't great for me either. To be fair, though, it was easy pick up, put down, where I felt like I could get back into it and understand what was going on and not be confused. But it took me a while to read this one, unfortunately.
Do you think it could be good for TV or the silver screen?
I actually think this book could be better TV than it was a book. I also would advocate for it to be a TV series and not a movie, I think.
Yeah, I think you need the nuance and the time of a TV show to get into it. Or maybe like a mini series, like 8 episodes.
I could see it as the next like Reese Witherspoon, you know, produced kind of show, like Little Fires Everywhere, White Lotus kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I can see that.
And I actually think the conversion to TV would help with some of the pacing. I think it's just sort of easier to watch and consume it that way sometimes. So yeah, I could definitely see it being a TV show.
Well, the way things are, they are turning everything popular into TV. So maybe we'll see it.
I know. It would not surprise me at all. I'd actually probably watch it.
Me too.
You know, you said you'd read other books by the author and you would maybe watch the show. So even if this wasn't your favorite book, like, did you have a favorite part, favorite character that makes you want to, you know, take another go at something similar?
I really liked Meredith as a character. I guess I was kind of interested in her story just because she's like a doula and a yoga instructor and has these 2 kids. Struggled with postpartum depression, is like advocating for women in the birthing process. Like, she just seemed like a very strong female character. So I was always interested to get back to her perspective.
I definitely agree with that. I really loved her role as a doula. I found it interesting just like as a person, especially I have some friends who are in school to be in the medical field and my sister wants to do that. And so those are like very real issues in women's health. So that has nothing to do with the mystery, but I found it really interesting. I also do think the author, even though I had issues with like some of the ending and some of the characters, it was definitely creative. Like I would not say it was, what are the right words that I want? It wasn't basic, even though I didn't love it. And so I think that is definitely a redeemable quality.
I did like Meredith in the kind of like feminist like portion of the book that didn't necessarily need to be there, but I liked. I think though my favorite would be Kate. I don't know. I think I kind of like the diary style entries and her just kind of being the witness to all of these different pieces falling into place. And her relationship with Bea was kind of fun to see. I don't know. She was like the girl next door watching crazy things happen. And I think I just really enjoyed that perspective.
I do agree. She was like the straight man in a comedy, like the normal person who was just witnessing everything. So she was definitely a good, sane voice that kind of carried you through.
We have come to the most important part, your busy girl rating.
I'm honestly not sure yet what I want to give it. You guys go first.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give it 3 stars because the pacing took me a while and it wasn't one that I could breeze through. But I did like it, so I'd recommend it. But I don't know if it's one of those books that, like, if you had a busy time in your schedule, you have to read.
I would give it a 4. I don't know. I feel like being the kind of mystery that it is, I was compelled to want to keep picking it up and keep reading it. And which may not be the case for everyone, but, and it was like simply written, which, you know, some people have an issue with, but so easy to read along with. And like, I liked it enough, I would recommend it. If you're not a thriller fan, probably not, though. So that's where my 4 comes in. It's probably not a, like, for any one book. It's for people who specifically enjoy mysteries, I would say.
Yeah. I keep going back and forth between a 2 and a 3. I think I'm just going to give it a 2.8, exactly like my quality rating was. It's an easy read, but I personally think if there are other mysteries that are like, you know, I would pick up before this book. So that's why I'm going to stick along those lines.
Casey, not everyone can be Agatha Christie.
I know, but I still think that there are things like I would read. I would read We Were Liars before this book, too. And I just, you know what it honestly is like, maybe I'm more of a gothic literature person than a mystery person. Maybe that's just like the honesty of my preferences, but yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I would also read We Were Liars before I'd read this book.
So to our listeners, what you're hearing is Casey really usually dislikes my book recommendations.
I feel like that's so not true, though. It's just been true, like, the last, like, we've disagreed the most on Crawdads and this book. And we've disagreed the most between, like, the three of us. It's been, like, me disliking something and then you liking it a lot more. But I feel like in real life, we actually, like, mostly like the same books.
I also acknowledge I am pretty generally easy to please. Like, if it's a good book, I'm reading it, and I'm finishing it, and I move on.
Yeah. Like, and Kenzie's a book snob.
I'm a little hard to get.
Well, she is the English major, so.
Oh, my snooty, snobby little taste.
Yeah. She's the book snob, Caitlin's easy to please, and I'm the middleman.
Catherine is the referee. No.
Sometimes, come yeah. to that. Sometimes I make good calls, sometimes I don't, I guess.
It's never come to that. Crawdads was tense, but it's never come to that.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Well, with that, is it time for spoilers? Spoiler section?
Yes. The spooky season ones have been so hard because, like, you can't go beyond the first couple chapters without spoiling the whole entire book.
Yes.
The whole point of a mystery.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why for this one, especially when I wrote up these discussion questions, I was like, I normally do these in chronological order. No, this one, we need to get right into the big twist and go from there. So the big
twist. They're almost like a couple mini twists that lead up to the big twist.
I know. I was going to give kind of a recap.
Okay, go for it.
But it needs to be recapped a bit. So we find out at like the 75% mark that B and Meredith were drunk in a car. B was driving it and they hit and kill Shelby. And that is how Shelby dies, is hit and run, drunk driving. So B.
And her husband is in prison for it.
Yes. Yeah. He's falsely imprisoned, which is very, very unfortunate. But B goes into like very calculated, disassociated, like, let's bury the body. We can't get caught for this. And it's like, I don't want to like see any like consequences of my actions. Meredith, on the other hand, has a very guilty conscience. And therefore that culminates in B murdering Meredith, framing the murder as a suicide, and then stealing Delilah and keeping her in like an attic for 11 years because Delilah witnesses the murder.
It was one of those where I was reading, I was like, what?
Because I did not, because the whole Delilah twist with the kid not turning out, not the girl turning out not to be Delilah, I was like, wait, I'm so confused. Like, where is this coming from? Didn't make any sense to me. And then they were just like, oh yeah, Delilah was in the attic across the street this whole time. I was like, what?
Don't forget that you like brought in that other random neighbor who sometimes watched the kids because Meredith had a relationship with her husband when they were in college. Like, there were all sorts of weird things popping up that like,
but like, that one's just such a red herring. Like, has no purpose to plot. Kind of red herring almost.
To throw you off.
Yeah. Yeah. But I want to discuss it. What did y'all think of the twist that B kills Meredith and Shelby? Did you expect it? And then what did you think about Delilah being in that attic for 11 years across the street?
I think the most shocking of that part was the drunk driving incident. I think that's the one I could have never predicted. And watching it happen was like watching a slow-mo train crash, because as soon as Meredith like couldn't get B to not like do anything, then she was complicit. And so that one was really interesting to me. The others, I was like, okay, good twists, but that was the one that really set it off for me.
I agree. That was the twist. The twist with the drunk driving incident was the one that I really liked. I didn't see it coming. It surprised me. And I also found it totally believable. And it like introduced like this great tension like between B and what's her name? Meredith.
Mm-hmm.
That I found like really great. And again, totally believable. However, this is where I get on my, like, these are things that I really didn't like, was that Delilah, there was, like, a fake Delilah introduced. I, like, aggressively did not like it. It turned me off of the whole book, to be honest, because I was like, why would you introduce a character who did not even matter and then just completely abandon her? It's like having a red herring be a fourth of the novel. I was like, that's just dumb. I don't want to do that. That's like the point of a great mystery, is that everything is in plain sight and everything comes together in a way you don't expect. And that was just like, here's the mystery, and then just making you pay attention to something in left field for no reason. I really didn't like it.
I'll agree. Like, I don't think it was necessary, but I think the tension it would have brought to B to see this girl return and know that there's a girl in her attic, when you think about it, does add a layer. Like, It's a little
but they
more
never
stress on her.
Discuss that in the book.
I know. That's
it's never talked about.
Yeah. And I think that's my biggest pet peeve of the book, is making it from entirely the future's perspective from Leo's point of view. I get it. I did like his perspective as a little kid experiencing trauma and feeling like kind of these unfiltered look at the world of what he grew up in because of this tragedy. But the fact that we didn't see B 11 years later kind of like squirming or sweating or anything, it came out of nowhere. Well, as soon as the car crash happened, I knew she had to have murdered Meredith. I knew that because she was too cold and calculated when it came to the burying the body and framing the husband. I was like, right. This woman has done this before, or she has the capability of doing this again. And, but I did have a problem with just the red herring Carly, I guess is what her name turns out to be, kind of copycat kidnapping. And it did feel a little bit like it out of left field and not fully resolved. But I thought maybe, yeah, like I agree, if we had B in that perspective later on,
it might have been. Well, you did get Kate reacting to it. But yeah, I don't know. I just didn't care enough about that plot hole because I enjoyed the book, so I kind of just ignored it.
I cared more about the red herring of the wife, Candace, and Mark or something, her husband, and Meredith being in a relationship in college and getting pregnant and having a miscarriage, and then like they see each other and then pretend that they don't know each other, and then that's why she gets mad and then starts sending hate texts and threatening messages to Meredith. I was like, that is so extra just to frame someone to then like throw you off the course.
I will say it also does bring into the question Meredith's character, because she never tells Josh this. So it makes you wonder what other secrets Meredith is hiding from Josh. So yeah. I will say it casts doubt on her narrative a little bit.
But we already have like the medical malpractice suit. We have other things that could cast doubt.
That, yeah, but those don't weird. Cast doubt on her character.
Yeah.
I side with Catherine on this one. I felt like it was just messy. You kind of guess that B kills Meredith. Like Catherine said, it's just obvious. But my last part of the book that I just did not buy was that was a successful suicide cover-up. I was like, she stabs her in the gut, and then everyone is just like, yeah, suicide. Like, that's not the hardest way to kill yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she had head trauma from getting smashed in the head with a hammer, and no one's ever like, what'd she hit her head on? That's weird. Yeah.
I will say another one of, and I think this is my only other big pet peeve of this book, and I wrote as a question, so I'm going to bring it up. The police in this book are incompetent and also are covering things up due to personal issues. Like the lady detective doesn't tell Josh that this is not his kid after she gets DNA results, because she was so worried he'd be so heartbroken. I'm like,
right. No. She lets them keep some other heartbroken family's missing child.
I was like, are you thick in skull? Like, no, like that's not okay. So what did y'all think of this police department? Can they just not investigate anything?
I was like, what the fuck? I mean, it really, again, okay, the thing with the cop lying was a stretch of my imagination, but I was willing to accept it. All the other stuff, it's like, you can accept one like huge thing, but then the things add up, and then it's like, okay, I can't accept this many things.
Yeah. I questioned it plenty too when you realize that Shelby's body would have shown signs of like being hit by a car, not like being beat up by a person. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. All they did to cover it up was unclothe her to make it look like rape. But like, you don't get hit by a car then.
When you wouldn't know the body was like moved from somewhere else because the blood pooling. And like, I watch a lot of NCIS. Yeah. So I was like, that's also forensically unrealistic. But maybe they're just incompetent or overworked or, you know.
Okay, but and Meredith went back and gave her a blanket and introduced a whole new point where there would be like biological evidence.
No, she
Like,
was careful about it, remember?
yeah, she wore gloves. Good for her.
But that's not like DNA can shed from
I'm
not just
sure.
your hands.
Yeah, I'm sure no one can tell whose car it had been in.
Also, just the fact that there was blood in the garage that they were later like, oh, yeah, that was B's blood. I was like, when was B bleeding? Like, when was her blood introduced to this? I really thought they were going to say, oh, yeah, that was Shelby's blood. I was like, what is this? Like, what are these cops of just like, oh, yeah, just random female blood in the garage. Wonder what this is.
Also, this is my last point of unbelievability, so I'll just throw it out there. Delilah appears out of the attic and they just live happily ever after. This child, like, oh, if your kidnapper's nice to you, you're psychologically fine. Like, what? She is obviously going to be horrifically damaged. She was kept in an attic. I don't
yeah,
care
but
that
she
you
got
read
to see
to her
her
and
family
dressed
every day.
her.
That makes it right?
Yeah, a child. I was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
He runs out like, daddy. I was like,
I will
right.
say that ending was rushed. Like Kate's perspective, those last two chapters, I was like, we could have given this a little bit more so we could have Kate finding out in a slower fashion that B did all of this and then like the aftermath, or we just end it there and just call it what it is of a broken
Right.
family.
What I would have loved is if Kate had figured it out. That would have been, to me, like a much more fascinating thing to read.
That's why I liked her, because she just was like a victim of this whole situation, watching it all happen. I don't know.
I liked her, but yeah, I would have liked her for her to find out on a different way than the cops.
I see all the little plot holes and how they add up, but it just didn't bother me that much in this one.
Well, it has like great reviews, so it didn't bother a lot of people, but it bothered
Looking
me.
Looking at it from, you know, the 10,000 foot view, fantastic. The journalist in me digging in, yeah, there's plenty of flaws, but like,
yeah, the true crime lover knowing way too much about police procedure and murder.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've got no other method of thinking, so this was an issue for me. But yeah. But now let's talk about other stuff, other parts of the book that we found more enjoyable.
Okay. Well, I want to discuss the complexities of B as a character, because we kind of just get introduced to her as this kind of side character, the wife of the woman's perspective that we are, Kate, that we are reading. And they're trying to be like little mini detectives going to this doctor's office and trying to solve this case. And like, she was very two-dimensional, just like existed. She seemed, when the crash happened, she seemed way too knowledgeable on how to get away with murder. Like, too
Yes.
knowledgeable. I was like, immediately, I was like, this cannot be her first rodeo. So what did y'all think?
I think she's a murderer.
Yeah. I loved her as a villain. Like, I felt like she was like the perfect amount of in the background, but we still got enough like characterizations of her to like believe it. I felt like that part of the book was done very well. My like one little complaint is that she was so practiced that I was like, how many people has this woman murdered? Like, can we please get some more backstory? Like, she is efficient, has her whole method down. Like, let's hear more about that.
Kind of like it was like, what has been living next door this whole time?
Yeah. And I would have liked it if they leaned into that a little more, but I did still really like B as a villain.
Oh, I agree. She's like the perfect twist villain, because you really don't expect it. But then like, she's like really smart and like very strategical and logical. But yeah, I wanted more backstory into her, or at least wanted like one chapter in her perspective. We're going to do all this character flipping and perspective flipping. Let's do some murderer perspective flipping. And I want to see that line.
Right.
Also, why is the character named B always whacking people? Come on. It's not the first time we've had a character named B whacking people.
You're right.
Facts. justice
So
for the name.
Watch out. The Beatrices you in your life are probably murderers.
At least according to Hollywood.
Also, how did she keep a child in her attic for 11 years and her wife not figure it out? I'm too snoopy. Like, I need to snoop into everything. All doors are getting unlocked in my places.
The part, okay, here, I can believe that Kate never heard or saw anything. Here's the part that gets me. The garbage. Where is all these girls' human excrement and all her snacks and eating and food?
Remember, it talks about she comes up to empty, like, her waste when Kate's at work.
There is no way. You don't know what the inside of your own garbage can looks like.
Well, who says she puts it in her own garbage can?
She has to. Where else is she putting it?
She could drive it somewhere. She'd drive a body somewhere.
Oh my gosh. I guess that's true. But I was like,
she was just too smart.
Dishes. Like, I was like, what? That's the, because it's those little things that I'm like, how could you get away with all that?
Yeah, I think that's what makes it so, like, frustrating and fascinating, that, like, she's too smart and knows too much about how to hide this kind of stuff, that I need to know more. I have to know more.
Exactly. Because I could believe it. I could believe that she could get away with it, but we never got to see those details.
So what you need, you're saying, is you need a part two, which is Bee's prison diary.
Yeah.
I would read that.
Bee is going to be the prison queen. She's going to be like, Orange is the New Black. She's
I was just about to say Orange is the New Black. She's going to be that badass lesbian who rules the women's prison.
Yes. They better watch out.
Oh my God. I can imagine it.
Mm-hmm. Which also, while we're here, makes me even more mad that we wasted a perspective on that like little teenage boy when we could have been reading Bee's perspective.
You could have done it
this year.
Yeah, you could have that perspective was to be like, this is how the missing family has torn this family apart.
Yeah, but like, you could have done a flip from Leo to B at the 75% mark once you know the situation.
Also, I don't really need that perspective. I understand why having your mom go missing, or like your child go missing and then your mom dead, would wreak havoc on your family. I don't feel like he showed me anything I didn't already know. Personally, I also would have loved to get his dad's perspective, something just a little bit more, a little more unhinged, because he had the responsibility of everything, and B, also something with an adult's understanding.
Well, I think that kind of brings us to, what did y'all think of the time jumps, the 11 years before, 11 years later, and then the kind of different perspectives from those 11 years?
I mean, we talked a little bit about that in the non-spoiler section. I think she should have chosen to tell the book's perspective from fewer people. I actually think if you totally cut out like the fake Delilah narrative, it doesn't take away from the book at all. I think that was just distracting and like added a lot of extra words, because like I said, my pacing was like one of my biggest qualms with the book. And so I think if she cut down on both the time jumps and the characters, it would have actually made the mystery stronger. But
yeah, I feel like you could have almost not quite done it all the way from Kate's perspective, but definitely Kate with Meredith could have told the whole story. I see some of the layers she's trying to add in, and like I said, like, I wasn't mad about it, but I see where like you could definitely narrow it down to just Kate and Meredith.
And yeah, you can even have Kate 11 years later. Like, you could have the time jump still.
So there's a whole other red herring which we haven't even talked about yet, and that's the doctor. So what did you think about that part of the story? There's also the red herring of like the husbands. Did you believe at one point that any of them were the murderer?
I never believe that anything 75% and before if they're trying to allude that this person is a murderer, I almost never believe it just from reading enough mysteries to know that it's always a red herring. So no, I didn't believe anyone could be the murderer. I did think the doctor was a dick, and I definitely think he should be sued for medical malpractice for the lack of care to his pregnant patients and just kind of like, let's just get the baby out, even if it means just cutting you open. So don't think he's a good guy, but I definitely didn't think any of them could be the murderer just because I know murder mystery tropes enough. But what about you, Caitlin?
I didn't think it was Shelby's husband or the doctor. I did briefly think it was Josh because of his trauma. And I was like, oh, he's being overdramatic, maybe just to cover it up or something. But I still wasn't really convinced on that. This was one where I was just kind of like, yeah, I really don't know who did this. So
to be honest, me too. I didn't really know who did it. Although it's always a husband. So that's why I was like, maybe it is the husband, but that just seems too obvious.
I didn't love the red herrings just because I didn't think that they actually made me think it was them. I also was a little mad that they talk about this whole aspect of like Shelby's cheating and then her husband's cheating and all these people are cheating and then we never learn about any of that. I was like, who was the man in her house?
It was Candace's husband.
Mm-mm. That's Shelby.
Yeah.
No, so Candace's husband dated Meredith.
Yeah, and then it alludes that he was the one cheating with Shelby.
Oh, I did not put that together at all.
I did not put that together either.
They moved afterwards and stuff. And he was coming home late. I don't know, because he was coming home late and Shelby was coming home late. I connected that.
So I didn't connect that at all, and I don't think it's actually connected later on.
I don't think she ever explicitly says it, no. But that's what I picked up, is that Shelby was cheating with Candace's husband.
You know, that makes so much sense, but that did not connect.
Much more sense. But yeah, and I'm not an idiot. Like, and me and Catherine both missed that completely.
Surprise! There's still more plot twists.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Maybe I inferred.
No, you're definitely right. You're definitely right.
Now that you say that, I'm like, okay, yeah, that has to be true. But I did not pick that up when I was
reading. Just thought they left it hanging. Yeah, like who
did too. No,
that's why I thought Candace and that little side plot was interesting.
Oh.
Interesting.
See, I didn't put that together at all, so therefore I was like immediately like, this is just a pointless side plot. But putting it together would make it less pointless side plot. Yeah, so
less of a red herring now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, still a red herring because they didn't have anything to do with the murder, but
right. But like, okay. She was cheating and he was cheating and he had an angry housewife at home.
Okay. So maybe the author needs to make that clearer.
Yeah. But like, so Candace had a reason to kill some ladies.
Yes. Enough reason to kill Meredith, but Shelby, yes.
No, but she thought Meredith was the one cheating.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
knew her husband was cheating. She assumed it was Meredith. Well, it was Shelby.
Okay. Whatever. Like, I didn't believe it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I still never thought that. But anyway, that is interesting. Man, first ever plot twist revealed on the podcast in real time.
See, you guys were looking so detailed that you missed stuff.
I don't know if I was looking that detailed, honestly.
You should have just been along for the ride like me.
I think I was distracted. Yeah. Oh, okay. So here's another big part of the book, is that Meredith didn't tell her husband about either the malpractice lawsuit or her connection to Shelby's murder, or her connection to the husband of her friend. What did you guys think about all of that secrecy?
So I didn't blame her for the husband thing, because the guy kind of made that decision for her and made it really awkward with the whole like, oh, hi, I'm introducing myself to my former college girlfriend that I got pregnant, but sure. So I didn't blame her for that one. The medical malpractice lawsuit, maybe you tell your husband, but I also could see the legal ramifications of like discussing the case. But yeah, I'd probably tell my husband if I'm a star witness in a medical malpractice lawsuit. The murder, I understood just because B was being very like, don't tell anyone, act like it's normal. And like, you have this guilty conscience. So I could see where each of those you would lie. But when you compound them together, it does make them seem like you're keeping a lot from your significant other.
What I couldn't tolerate in that was that she kept talking about how madly in love with Josh she still is after all these years. But I'm not going to tell him this huge life-changing thing. I was like, really? Like, come on.
Right.
Also, I'm the kind of person, when I'm guilty, I will tell on myself. My mother will know. So, like, I don't know how she did it.
I also felt that way, Caitlin, where they had this, it seemed like they had this great relationship, but then she was keeping all these secrets from him. And I was like, I just don't know that you can have that great of a marriage for years and like be keeping secrets like this. It just doesn't make sense. For me, the only one I could understand that she didn't tell him about was the murder. Because obviously, if you commit a murder, you should not tell anyone. That's the only way to get away with it. And so that one, I was like, it's also like a horrible, morally horrible thing to do. So yeah, I can understand why that would be a difficult secret to tell like someone you love. The other secrets, I was like, man, girl, you really need to be telling your husband this stuff.
Yeah, I think with the husband and the neighbor thing, probably afterwards been like, yeah, that was really weird, but we did used to date, just so you know, so you're not blindsided by anything. But yeah, the murder, yeah, if you're an accomplice to murder, don't tell people. I think that's the general rule of thumb in these instances. But
well, this is why I'm saying you could almost question Meredith's character because she is hiding all this stuff.
Right.
So I think like all those did tie together nicely to make you question her. Like, is she an unreliable narrator because she's hiding stuff from the most important people in her life?
Right. And it almost made me suspect Josh a little bit because I personally felt like it was a red flag that he seemed to be so controlling over her career. Like, look, abusers disguise control as love. That's how they get away with it. And pretending that you're so scared for your wife that she can't have a job anymore is just like textbook manipulation. I'm not saying
he was climbing his career ladder.
Yeah.
Quickly. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was kind of like, I don't know. They're billing this marriage like it's so perfect. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know about all these things.
Yeah. I did think it was the husband because of the love bombing almost of it all and being like, I'm so supportive of her and we've gone through all of this and stuff like that.
Right.
And then finding out about all this stuff.
Yeah. But from the context of the mystery, I really liked it because it did make me think that there were cracks there that were maybe important.
Mm-hmm. Well, like they were talking about in Shelby's murder, like a lot of times the husband did it. So like you're obviously going to question Josh for that reason.
Yeah, it's a high percentage where it's the husband did it.
Unfortunately, domestic violence is and so it's one of the questions you have, like going back to, we briefly touched on the medical malpractice suit and the doctor not caring about the mother but just getting his job done and the lack of advocacy for women. That's another really hot topic this touches on. So how did you, I don't know if it needed to be in there, but I think it spoke well of Meredith that she was trying to advocate for her patients. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I do think it was a little tangential. I did read a review that was like, why is this in here? It's clearly just the author like lecturing. I liked it, but it's because I find that topic interesting and I think it's important. And so, and I also do think it helped you see Meredith's character. I don't know that there needed to be as much of it as there was, but I personally liked it, but that's because of like my own values.
Yeah, I would agree. I did like it just because I am very fascinated by like women's issues, especially when it comes to like advocacy in medicine and like the lack of knowledge and the lack of like advocates for women's health and women's pain and stuff like that in medicine and in doctors. And I thought it was really heartbreaking that her baby ends up medically deformed because of this doctor's actions, and like gives her an episiotomy without her consent. And it's like a lot of like just butchering this woman during birth.
Yeah.
And because the lack of consent.
Yeah, I was so mad. It was just.
And something I like post reading thought of is like the fact that Meredith cared so much about these women, and therefore she wasn't home a lot, made you think she cared for these women more than her own children, which almost made you question whether she harmed Delilah. So I think like that was like an element you don't obviously see, but in the back of your head, it's making you think like, well, she's not home caring for her kids, but like, man, she really cares about this unborn child.
Yeah.
I don't know. It like added some complexity.
I think for me though, at least I interpreted it as also being cracks in the marriage, because there were times when I was like, why isn't Josh stepping in more? Like, which it did seem like at night when she was having to be gone, he would step in, but it also did feel like she was doing a lot of like the work surrounding the organizing of stuff. The point where I did question her was I was like, how many clients do you have? I mean, they make it seem like she's gone randomly all the time. And I was like, okay, you'd have to have like 50 clients that are all near birth to be just randomly gone that often.
I think the book says that in the same month, she has 8 clients with due dates.
Yeah, I think it did mention she had like more than usual at that point in time or something. But yeah. Still, like your kid comes 8. Home crying from the babysitter every day and you keep sending him back. Like,
yeah, okay. That part I did think was weird. I was like, yeah. Your child is showing like clear signs that he's being like abused or bullied, and you're just kind of like, sorry, I have to go to work. I was like,
yeah.
If your child dreads the babysitter, something is going on.
I will say that part, that was the one time where the red herring actually got me, because I did start to think that babysitter was the one that kidnapped Delilah. Because the abuse.
That's a good theory.
Yeah, it's the abusive tendencies towards children, and like this weird like fascination with like Leo and like his, like I did, that one threw me off.
I did think maybe that old lady and the old lady in the house were like the same person briefly, but like also she wasn't the one who abused Leo. It was another child, and
yeah.
Find all that out.
I wondered that too, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the only one I actually could find plausible throughout reading. The rest of them, I was like, not any of it.
But again, if you have 8 clients due in 1 month, that's still only 2 a week. So it seems like she's gone a lot, like, comparatively to that.
Well, she's also a yoga instructor. So I think she's
both. Yeah, that's true.
And, like, when they have false labor and stuff, she still gets called.
Yeah, but...
But yes, again, she has gone a lot, and she seems to care for her patients more than her kids in those situations, which, like, wait, read her inner thoughts, you know that's not true, but it still casts doubt on her motivations. You think maybe she did commit suicide and something sinister happened to Delilah because of her, you know.
Well, there you have it. That's our discussion. To summarize, it's a mystery with lots of twists and turns, lots of red herrings. Some of us loved it, some of us didn't. But, you know, read us and let us know what you think. It's definitely a little bit polarizing. So who do you agree with? Whose opinion do you most align with out of the three of us?
We're going to make t-shirts, and you can have one that says, like, team Caitlin or team Casey, or one that will be team Switzerland with Catherine's face on it.
Yeah.
Of course. I was wondering where you're going with that.
Yeah, yeah.
I really want, like hater and proud or something.
That is
like
book snob motto.
And proud.
Yeah. All books welcome here. That's my slogan.
Yeah. Hey, I'll read them all, but I'm going to be honest about what I thought.
Yeah.
And everyone's welcome to disagree.
I have disliked some books. Okay.
Yeah.
You have.
And I never begrudge people for liking stuff I don't like. Everyone gets to do whatever they want. That's the beauty.
One day, though, we'll find a book Casey loves and I don't.
I know. I honestly can't wait. I really can't.
Catherine's like, no, we won't.
I don't think we will. Like, I'm trying to think, and I'm like, your likes align too much for that.
That is true.
I'm too easy to please.
Damn. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Is like you would like all, or you at least see like promise in all of the books that Casey recommends. Like you would guilty give it 3 stars. I see that happening.
If I read it and I don't mind it, I pretty much give it 3 stars.
Oh yeah, that ain't me.
No, I'm willing to give a book 1 to 2 stars if needed.
I have done it. I did it recently to a memoir I read, which I thought was fine, but I thought in hindsight was kind of boring.
But you're even saying it's fine. Like, we'll say it's bad.
Like, I'm not mad I read it, but I also, like, almost wish I hadn't started it.
Oh, God. Okay, well, to bring us back, now we're to the part where we give recommendations.
I'll go first just because I want to get my recommendation out of the way because I've already given it before and I'm afraid that Casey might recommend it. I literally can't remember if I recommended it or you recommended it. But this book, like immediately after finishing it, I was like, you know what a better version of this book is? Gone Girl. You should read Gone Girl because the perspective change makes a hell of a lot more sense and it's a lot more interesting and it's getting into like psychological thriller kind of way. I 10 out of 10 recommend that book. That is one of my top 10 books of all time is Gone Girl. And the movie ain't half bad either. So I wanted to get that out there.
I would like to recommend The Guest List.
No.
Boo. Boo. Get her off the stage.
Okay, but you're right. It is super similar.
Yeah. I think for mine, I'm going to recommend a podcast this time. I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts, and I'm just simply out of true crime mystery books to recommend. You've exhausted, this month has exhausted my resources.
I know. That's why I had a double dip.
Yeah. So the one I'm going to recommend is Suspect. It examines a case where the murderer is most likely one of the guests at a party. And so it kind of examines who these people were and the victim. If you're a young woman, the victim is very relatable. Unfortunately, it's very sad. So obviously that's tragic.
Sounds like Clue.
Is it a true story?
It's a true story. And so, yes, this is
okay, like that's true crime.
Yeah. And so it has that sort of whodunit tension of like there's an isolated pool that it could really be and who is it. So that's what I recommend.
Okay. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. I will recommend a book that is actually coming up on our list, I believe. So spoiler, Malibu Rising has a similar, it's a mystery and time jumps back and forth between different characters and their perspectives and kind of brings it all up to speed into the like current time period. And so it's written kind of similarly. Taylor Jenkins Reid, super popular right now. You've got Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo by her and Carrie Sotowitz Back just came out and that's already wildly popular. We may have to read all of them. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
oh my God. It's
written very similarly to this one and slightly less sinister.
So I have to mention, because I'm reading two of her books at the exact same time and it blew my mind, and I've already talked with both of you about this, but all of her books are in the same universe and like characters overlap book to book. And it's crazy. And it's mind-blowing, and I'm excited. I've read
the one so far, so I'm excited now that you've said that too.
It's like really a lot of overlap, like surprising amounts.
Okay, so a Seven Husbands written like that too, like back and forth in history. Okay, so there you go. Just read Taylor Jenkins Reid if you like that kind of writing.
Yes, I'm also very excited. And it'll be interesting because I've already read The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. Caitlin's already read Malibu Rising. So we're going to be reading it flipped. And Catherine's reading it at the same time. So there's going to be great. There's going to be great insights.
And my aunt just got an autographed copy of Carrie Soto's Back that I may have to beg and plead to borrow.
Just a touch. But all right. I mean, I think that's everything for today. So thank you guys for listening. Please rate and review and also tell us what you thought of the book. You can find us at Busy Girls Pod is almost our universal handle. So look us up.
And guys, go to our website. Casey has worked really hard on it, and there's some cool stuff and cool stuff coming also.
Yes, which I keep saying I'm going to do and don't do, but it's coming.
Still, it's really cool, and she worked hard on it. Please go look at it, busygirlspod.com.
And we'll be adding stuff as well, not just Casey, but we're all busy, and it's been a month. The October's been a month.
Or hashtag
basically anything that looks really pretty, Casey did.
Yeah. Oh, stop it. It's not true, but I appreciate the praise. So.
So come join our fam. We all love each other, but we don't love all books.
Amen. My creed.
Maybe we should get that on our t-shirt. Like, you have to love everybody. You don't have to love all books.
I don't know if I'd agree with that.
You don't have to we like love everybody.
Yeah. Maybe we love each other, but not each other's books.
Ooh. Okay, merch coming soon, Casey. Honey. Okay, right. Well, with that, I'm Caitlin.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Catherine. Thanks for listening, and when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.